That is, am I correct, long distance dedication for, let me check, KJ in Foxborough? Is that where that came from this morning, Shine?
Yes, it did, Greg.
My God has a telephone. Okay.
It's catchy.
Well, I'm glad he cleared all that up. I thought for certain in London that KJ Osborne was holding his phone, his hand phone up to his ear, demanding that somebody call and get him out of here because he didn't want to be here. But he clarified that means call God.
Right.
So that's what that was.
Think of the amount of Hall of Fame championship dynastic players that came through that building over the last 20 years, never complaining once. And this collection of stumble bums is bitching every other day.
I would love to have been there for the session where, I don't know if he did it himself or had an advisor, but where he tried to figure out how do you explain away the fingers to the ear, call me and get me out of here. And then somebody came up with, wait a second. If you say it's call God, then nobody can say anything.
Greg, I think it was Haas Long to figure out to fix this.
Only God can judge me.
I mean, Wiggy, that is a miserable group of wide receivers on that football team, and they're not keeping it to themselves.
Yeah, and I think it sucks for Mayo, and here's why. Because do we believe Alex Van Pelt is Mayo's guy?
No.
And all this animosity. And
it should really be directed at him.
Right.
But Gerard Mayo has to stand up there and take the blame for
yes.
it.
Yes. So I think, you know.
That's one way to argue it. Now, he's the head coach. And at some point in life, you probably learned the rule that, you know, the saying is I'd rather get fired for doing what I want to do as opposed to getting fired for doing what somebody else told me to do. So
right. But I guess it's like, how do you go to the you know, like you go to the offensive coordinator and say, hey, listen, let's try to get these guys involved in the game plan. Yeah. That's all you could do. But it's still up to the coordinator to make sure he's designing the plays that can get these, whether it's reverses, whether it's, you know, quick screens, get the ball in the hands of these guys.
But I understand there's not a lot of talent in there, but this season is a wash anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd ship him up out of here as soon as possible.
That's why I said Mayo should make an example out of somebody in that room.
You would do that, right?
I would. I'd get his ass up out of there.
I mean, Curtis, I don't want to go back to Bill, but Bill probably wouldn't take this. I mean, and Gerard Mayo, he's got a different approach to things, but you got a bunch of disgruntled babies
that
are whining every 5 seconds about how involved they are or aren't.
He kind of lightweight did it with us a little bit. Where he said, and I would probably go more in this direction if I was Mayo because it might be hard to ship guys out. Like, you're not going to ship out Jalen Polk. But I would go what he did a little bit where he was like, if you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk.
Yeah, no, he didn't say that.
I would go even further, and I would specifically say to our wide receiver group, you know, we got a lot of guys in there that are good plays. They want the football.
Yeah.
But guess what? They got to show us that they can do something with the football when they get it.
This is BC Jim. Hello, Jim.
How you doing? I have to tell you, I'm biased. I'm a BC alum, but I think Bill O'Brien is so refreshing. One of the best interviews on the station. He's awesome.
Yeah.
I look forward to him every single week.
He is a great interview, and he listens to the show, which helps, and I love having Bill O'Brien on.
The best.
He gives us insight into the world of coaching that, like, we don't have, you know, like we don't.
Great answer to Curtis's question about Notre Dame this morning. Like, I really liked it.
Honestly, he's such a breath of fresh air. I really hope he's successful because he is incredibly good at this.
And he said last year, we stunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we stunk. You know, we had issues.
Stunk last year.
I think he called it a horrible situation.
Yes,
right. So for everybody saying how bad it is right now, remember that guy just told you who lived it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it was a horrible situation. I am not disputing that it has gotten much worse.
Yeah.
But it was horrible.
Yeah, just keep it in-house.
I think we can meet in the middle there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the argument is going to be, and I love when we argue, Curtis, but the argument is going to be the situation may have been horrible, one could argue, because the owner had already selected a different head coach and was dragging him upstairs when he should be meeting with players to have meetings with him.
It was just a brutal situation.
And Greg, as someone who's endured many of those, I will tell you, brutal situations, not your good points. you and I can meet right now. That the whole story, remember the story right before the season by Don Van Natta about Bill Robert Kraft's obsession about getting into the Hall of Fame?
Yes, yes.
That colors everything. If you really think about it,
yeah.
It ceased being about the team's success, and everything was about Robert Kraft looking better to Hall of Fame voters. And so it was all about getting the replacement coach that was an African American and that would make Robert Kraft fit, you know, be praised by other owners for doing, you know, promoting the Rooney Rule and all yeah. of that. And Robert Kraft was fixated on taking credit away from Bill for success and placing all the things that went wrong on his shoulders.
Then you're a real schmuck.
It is a joke that he's not in the Hall of Fame, though.
Of course.
Yeah.
The absolute disgrace joke.
But what makes me sad is last season and this season, and I want to take completely out of it the fact, would Bill have taken Drake May in the draft? Like, take that out of it. Mm-hmm. If Bill had Drake May as his quarterback and not mm-hmm. Mac Jones, I don't think it would have been as contentious last season. I don't think that there would have been right. issues in the locker room.
Nope.
I think that it would have been a completely different season, so right. I think it's more on the
season,
Mac.
The season would have been different, but they have wanted to get him up and out of there
yes.
for a long time.
Yes, right. yes, but I put
behind the scenes, they were diabolically scheming mm. to get him out of there.
100%, but the dysfunction aspect of
right.
it, I don't think it would have been a factor last
no.
season. Like, I think that he would have really appreciated having a quarterback that bought into
right.
whatever Bill Belichick was selling
right.
and would have just put his head down and done what's best for the team.
And I think that leads into extra dysfunction this year, too. Like, if you don't have that dysfunction last year, even if you wanted to move on from Belichick, it wouldn't have been nearly as dysfunctional this year
yeah.
because of what you went through the year before.
But unfortunately, all of this animus originated when Robert and Bill chose to work together and get a different quarterback. Because if Bill had just said, Tom can work with Alex Guerrero wherever, we don't have to relitigate this,
yeah.
then he has the quarterback. He doesn't need to keep finding one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bill Belichick's decision was to find a new one.
Yeah, but so it would have happened eventually. Like, Tom Brady was eventually not going to be playing,
right.
and all of this would have come to a head eventually.
Right, but what I'm talking about is the Robert part where he was trying to color himself as absolved from blame for the
right.
departure.
Right.
All of that issue originated in that decision.
Well, yeah. if Robert right. would have just said, here, Tom, here's the money,
right.
yeah. no issues.
Right. Exactly.
Let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up the dumb bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, are we starting with dysfunction, Chime, or what are we starting
yeah,
with?
Yeah, I think we absolutely start okay. with dysfunction. One of the main focal points of dysfunction has been that wide receiver room. Well, Kayshon Booty spoke to the media yesterday, like at his locker, just kind of a couple people with cell phones, said something interesting about last year in relationship to this year. Here was Kayshon Booty.
I'll say last year, probably as we all know, got sidelined after the first game, Eagles with Bill Belichick. So just coming back this season, kind of sat with Coach Mayo and stuff, and I was just like, I refuse to go through that I did last year. So I'll say just my mindset, knowing that I want to be on the field, one of those top players. So that's kind of where I'm at in my career.
Okay.
All right.
I demanded that the same not happen to me and that I get my time, my playing time, and my touches, and I mm-hmm. am not getting it, so I made that demand, and I want it now.
Well, it seems like there's the difference, right? It almost is like he's saying, Bill put me in the doghouse because of the sideline catch that I didn't make against Philadelphia, where I told Mayo, I don't want, like, don't hold me accountable
right.
or don't put me in the doghouse for something. You know what I mean? It's almost like.
I know it's old school or old head or whatever, but is the employee supposed to be telling the boss what they want done? Like, is that the way?
Clearly Mayo has made it clear to his players he wants them to talk to him about this and how they feel.
Okay.
And, like, this is the result of that. And, I mean, to Booty's credit, this year, he has made the best catches on the team.
Yes.
He's had the best hands on the team, and I don't think it's particularly close.
Yeah, but he's out there, though. Like, what? I don't know. What's the complaint?
Because they're not throwing him the football. I mean, Greg, he was out there. He led all receivers in plays, snaps taken last week, and yet he had two targets the entire game.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Next, let's go to a guy outside the Patriots organization weighing in on the Patriots. That would be J.J. Watt. He was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and this was J.J.
I love hosts that don't wear shirts.
No, they wear tank tops or cutoffs. J.J. Watt talked about Mayo's soft comments and how he would take it.
Okay. It's tough to walk into the team meeting on Monday after you do that post game. You better know 100% sure the type of team you have and the way they respond to things. And you better know that that statement you made is going to get them to work harder as opposed to shut down. I don't know if I've been in many locker rooms where that in the NFL, in today's NFL, where that is going to make guys work harder. I think that is one where they turn on you.
Oh, oh boy. All right. Well, they're saying the right things, I think.
Right.
Some of them.
Very interesting.
So, but you don't know whether they have turned on him or not.
Yeah, it's hard in those situations. When I was in Minnesota, you take the Mike Tyson approach, basically say, all right, who wants to fight? I'll fight every one of you. Like, literally wanted to fight us in the team meeting and was calling guys out, like, let's fight. You know, because of the way that we weren't playing,
I don't think that approach would work either. But.
Yeah, well, I mean, never but when the solution.
Yeah, but when you're Mike Tyson, you're 6'8", and you're a big man.
Yeah.
Or you're Gerard Mayo, who's a big guy. Like, you know, maybe somebody. That's what they miss. And Ty and I were talking about it when he was here on Ty Tuesday. You miss potentially knowing that some of the guys that walk around that locker room with that kind of leadership stick could actually swing on you. You think about it, Greg, you've been there before. You're like, I don't want to get my ass whooped.
No, that's always my approach.
Greg, using the Pat McAfee show as a guide, don't you think the receivers should learn something from the way A.J. Hawk does things on that show?
Yes. He's back in the library, huh?
Yeah, he is.
The bookless library.
The one time he wasn't in the library was because Pat McAfee wasn't in the studio. Maybe they just don't like each other.
That's a good point.
All right, what else, Sean?
Well, I got a cut here, Greg. This might infuriate Courtney. I got to be honest with you. Tyreek Hill spoke to the media yesterday and was asked about people who own him in fantasy. Here was Tyreek Hill's response.
We're back, baby. Strike up, man. We're back, baby. Start me this week, baby. Let's go.
Okay.
Oh, that's Tua's playing?
Yeah, Tua's playing.
All right.
They look good. Yeah. Apparently, they were on fire in practice, the two of them. Yeah. So
I'm sure Tyreek will take care of Tua if he gets another concussion. He seems really worried about the well-being of his quarterback.
I mean, but if Tua can stay on the field,
right,
then they're back in it.
Yeah, they're a different team.
I mean, yeah, clearly.
They are back in it.
And even though, like, regardless of what you think of Tua as far as him as a player, he's good enough to make that team relevant where they are a playoff team.
Well, and with how bad they've been without him, does that make you think Tua is actually better than you thought? Because originally we thought Mike McDaniel was this genius, with Tua goes out, it's like, oh, this offense is terrible. Tua comes back and they're great again. Maybe it's just Tua's actually good.
Yeah, no, great point, Shime. All right, that is They Said It Part 1. We'll get to They Said It Part 2 coming up at 8:20, and Courtney has the news coming up next. And what an OnlyFans content creator is accused of doing to a poor husband may mean Wiggy will cancel his account. We'll get to that and the rest of the news next.